welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Ah, yes. Welcome to the post show. Welcome to the fastest growing show at ESPN. Everyone talking about it. I go to the cafeteria, I get something to eat, I get a drink, and everyone's talking about the post show. They're not even talking about the real show. They're talking about the post show. Everyone loves it. They can't get enough of it. They say, you know what? Ever since you've been doing the post show, I eat my pizza crust first. How about that? It's a new phenomenon. Everywhere I turn, I was on the Lower East Side this weekend. People are eating their pizza crust first. I kid you not. Tell me, Ariel, you opened our... I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. No one's eating their pizza crust first, but they might be consuming the post show first, crust first, if you will. Hi, everyone. I'm Ariel Helwani. That is New York Rick. He's in studio. This is the post show. This is where we answer your questions. I think that was New York Rick. That's sort of the cue to show. There he is, New York Rick. How about that? I like to joke that the honeymoon is over between Jake and I back there. I mean, he's doing a lot. He's doing a lot back there.
Now you're saying he's burying me? Is that?
Well, we used to have like 15 people back there. Now he's doing the job of 15 people because he's such a big man. Former star at, where'd he play? Middlebury College in Vermont, football center. That's who's manning the ship back there. There is one person manning the ship.
I'm very confident.
I'm totally confident. Just saying, when we first met, it was all like, you know, pleasantries. Everyone's so nice. Now it's like, hey, slap you. You're a slacker. It's just like, it's a tight ship that they run over here at the worldwide leader. How are you, New York Rick?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Everything good?
Everything's good.
You were in Chicago.
I was in Chicago.
Now, were you really in Chicago,
okay,
was it like
was in the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates?
Okay, fair enough.
The location of All In most recently.
Brett Rogers versus Fyodor Emelianenko.
Yes, back in where the IFL. The Bulls G League team plays. So what's their name? I actually forgot, but I saw it in the.
Are they called like the Hoffman Estates whatevers?
No,
the Bulls. Chicago, they go with Chicago too. Good
but
event.
Yes, I'm back from Chicago.
I saw there was a crazy knockout.
Incredible knockout.
Who was it?
By Troy Jones.
Troy Jones.
Trained by Caitlin Young.
Really?
Yeah.
Trained by Caitlin Young. In Minnesota?
Yeah.
Wow. Was she in his corner?
She was in his corner.
Now we're talking about Glory Kickboxing, by the way, for those that don't know.
Yeah, Glory 58 Chicago last Friday.
That aired on ESPN?
It aired on ESPN3 replay. Coming up this coming Sunday.
Okay.
Usually it's the same weekend. This time it will be ESPN2 this coming Sunday.
All right. So that was Friday night.
That was Friday night.
So you watched, you got home in time for?
I got home just when it was kicking off. So I was at LGA Airport
You planned your trip home around UFC Moscow.
I try to get home early as possible. Most people know I'm a red eye guy and I like to either take the super late one or the earliest available out, and I typically do.
I don't have the guts to take the super late one. I always feel like something's going to go wrong, so I always take the first one.
The events run long most of the time, so I typically take the 6 a.m.
Yeah.
This time it was 7:30, but I was home. Chicago's close.
Moscow was fun. Before I get to Moscow, did you watch Triple G Canelo?
I watched that, yes.
I fell asleep as they were walking out. It was the worst. And then I woke up at 4, and I was like,
Watched?
I mean, not really.
Wow.
Well, what am I going to do? Find a stream or something? I don't know. I fell asleep.
How quickly does HBO do the replay?
Oh, a week.
A week.
Yeah.
So you'll be okay for a week. But
sounds like I missed a good one.
It was a great one.
Yeah. Who'd you score it for?
I either had it a draw. Like, first watching, I had it a draw. If I watched again, I saw most people leaning Triple G, and I wouldn't be surprised. He seemed to have the more aggressive style, and he was pushing the pace. But I think it was so close that I have no issue with the Canelo scoring. Whereas in the first fight, I thought Triple G clearly won that fight.
Yeah.
I thought that was a bad decision. This one I don't have an issue with.
I love the speed of the undercard.
Yeah.
First round knockout, second round knockouts, amazing.
But then
they had all that time to kill.
Now you fell asleep.
To me, what was shocking was it didn't seem like they were prepared for that. Like, for the possibility. Like, there was just a lot of... They didn't throw to packages. Just like them pontificating.
But I'm okay with it.
It was fun. It was almost like... It was listening to, like, a podcast almost.
And I love that.
Kellerman was phenomenal.
Kellerman was on fire.
He anchored that whole thing.
Just amazing performance.
Yeah, you even texted me about it.
I texted you.
Yeah.
Because we kind of talk about those types of things. I thought Kellerman was fantastic.
He was. He always is fantastic. He's an amazing addition to that.
Because he had so much time and he's just going through everything. And I thought they did a really
good job. It set it up well. But unfortunately, I tapped out. Yeah, it was very unfortunate.
You'll see it in a week. And it was
really
great.
You think they do a third?
Oh, you have to.
Now, what about this Floyd thing? Coming out the morning of classic Floyd Mayweather.
Classic.
It's so classic.
There's nothing to say, but I'm not interested in the fight, and it will sell a ton of pay-per-views.
My understanding is it's not a done deal, but there is a
possibility. They both want it to happen. Yeah. I don't think there's anything stopping that. I will not be interested in it. I will watch it, as will everybody else.
It feels like a con. It feels like a con job at this point.
At this point, I don't think any Floyd Mayweather fights are really going to feel like they're going to be a competitive affair.
But he's open about it. Oh, yeah, another nine-figure payday. Yeah, I'm coming back. No problem. Like, please... After this fight is over, after you win via decision, please don't retire. I don't want to hear him say the R word anymore. Just stop. Just leave it open-ended. Just say, I might come back when I'm 60. Because, by the way, I wouldn't put it past Floyd to come back when he's 60.
He'd probably be pretty good.
Yeah, because he's taking no damage.
Yeah.
He's quick as a cat. Please don't retire after this fight. That's all I ask.
We're talking about it because he's retired. We're talking about it more. If it was just another one,
just because
he's a
recognizable name, he's 50-0. He's never been beaten.
If it was
another,
if it was just like, you know what, I'm going to do the Pacquiao rematch after Conor. It doesn't do as much as if he's retired and
he's coming out of retirement.
Blah blah blah.
What are the odds? Shoot me in the brains. Yeah, what are the odds? Certainly now. Floyd versus Manny Pacquiao in MMA. Sign me up. I'll be there front row.
I don't think that's
the
fight.
Eat it up.
I would watch it, but I don't think that's the fight.
Two guys, same level, right? MMA training wise, that would be incredible. Wow, what a sight! Could you imagine those two in a cage?
Do you think that somebody would try to grapple? Do you think at some point somebody would shoot for a takedown?
Maybe if they got rocked, and they're like, "Oh, in this sport, I could actually try to do this."
Well, they can turn a clinch, into something maybe. But I'm not interested in.
It was just so amazing that it came out Saturday morning. The world wakes up Saturday morning.
Floyd Mayweather, 101. Brilliant.
Okay, how do we do in Moscow?
Betting-wise,
for
Rick's picks, we were 2-0.
Oh, yeah? What'd you get?
With the caveat.
Oh?
There's a caveat here.
Okay.
That card was a bunch of squash matches for Russian fighters.
Dang,
it really was set up that way. There wasn't anything that interesting from a betting perspective, except for Alexei Oleinik, which is interesting because, and let me start there.
Yeah.
He, at the time we were talking about it, he was a plus 225 dog who then ended up at fight time. It was close to a pick'em.
Wow.
Meaning a lot of people put money down on Alexei Oleinik, and rightfully so. Now, one could argue that it was a risky proposition with how hard Hunt hit him. It looked like that was a one-hitter quitter type punch that he landed. But kudos to Alexei, who ended up getting it done. I thought that was interesting for that much line movement for two guys who were close to 40. That I didn't expect to move that way.
Yeah.
So money came in on Alexei closer to the fight. But 2-0, Mirbek Taisumov, minus 440. I thought that was a relatively safe bet. Credit to Desmond Green, who I thought hung tough, but Mirbek controlled that fight. And a parlay of Rustam Khabilov and Peter Yan at minus 700 and minus 800 respectively.
Now that one should have lost because Cajun Johnson won that fight, 29-28.
It's important to say when you're on the right or wrong side.
Yeah.
I was on the wrong side in that fight. There's no way Khabilov should have been minus 700 over Cajun Johnson in hindsight. Cajun Johnson was way tougher than the books gave him credit for. I didn't see him doing that. I thought Khabilov was going to run through him. So I was on the wrong side of that, and I took a decision that I probably shouldn't have. But it ended up being 2-0. The same way if sometimes you're on the right side and you lose. This time I was on the wrong side and I won.
What about Herb Dean? Do you see that?
Yeah, that was.
What was up with that?
I mean, I don't
How can
even
a referee of that stature, with that resume, with that experience, let a fight go on that long.
Is there even an explanation for it? I mean, it was so long that I don't even have words.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say at that
so
point.
So uncomfortable.
The commentary team was screaming for 15 seconds for it to be over. I really don't. I don't know what to make of it. I have no words for how long that went on. He was done.
Yeah.
He was done for a good 30, 40, 50 seconds. There was no way he should have been in that fight.
Man.
Now, I saw some...
He was like a limp body.
Well, I saw some asinine arguments about he should have been tapping, his quarter should have thrown in the towel. It's not up to them to do the referee's job. The referee has a responsibility in there to protect the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
The fighter could have tapped, and the corner could have thrown in the towel, but that doesn't mean you're absolved from doing what needs to be done when it's time to stop the fight. And clearly, Herb missed that one.
Oh, missed it.
Yeah, I mean
that was.
I don't have words for it.
That was egregious.
It was terrible. It was awful to see.
Ugh, so uncomfortable, especially like his body on the ground and turtled up like that. It just, I just did not like that. I did not like that. Let's give a shout out to our guy, Danny Rubenstein, Peter Yan, his boy.
Fantastic performance.
Great fight.
Now, his opponent.
Yes.
I think deserves a lot of credit for how well he performed in there. A lot of people saying there might be a second Korean Zombie with just how much punishment he was taking, and still coming forward. Did not look like somebody who was on the other side of a minus 800. Yan was minus 800.
That was minus 800.
Yeah.
Wow.
He definitely wasn't close to losing that fight, but I think it ended up being a better fight than most thought.
Now, his opponent, Jinsu Sun, missed weight.
Yeah.
They win fight of the night. Peter Yan only gets 50K. How do you feel about that?
I believe the precedent is only one time it has happened in the past.
Yeah.
And the fighter who won got 100K when their opponent missed. Mm-hmm. I would think that you would replicate that.
Yeah.
But since it's only happened one time, I don't know what the decision has been.
Well, for
the
UFC, give the fight of the night always to the fight where the guy missed weight, so you only have to pay 50K.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's always going to work out that way. But if I was Peter Yan, I'd be a little bit upset.
Yeah.
It has happened in the past. I had a great performance. My opponent did too. I'd love to, capitalize on that. I'm glad he got a bonus though. And that, the fight wasn't discounted completely just because of his opponent missing weight. Some good performances, but again, as I said, a lot of them were squash matches on that card. There was a lot of heavy favorites.
Yes. And it was like, it reminded me of a card where they wanted the crowd to go home happy. And they did.
They did.
And it was a great atmosphere, and it flew by. It was Fight Pass. It was in the afternoon. All's well that ends well. What's our level of expectation? Where should we place it for this press conference? I feel like there's a lot. I feel like there's high, there's high interest, obviously, high expectations. But I feel like there's a lot of pressure to perform. I feel like people are really – because we've literally heard nothing from both men, right? So I feel like there's a lot of pressure on them to perform. Is that a recipe for disappointment?
No, because when does Conor McGregor not deliver?
Yeah.
Every time he's back against the wall, every time he's doubted, he's always delivered. And so the people who are saying, he hasn't talked, is this all we're getting? Oh, he hasn't talked. He hasn't spoken. Is this all we're getting? He's going to deliver. I have no doubt in my mind that he is going to make this a memorable press conference. I have no doubt in my mind that Khabib is going to be a suitable,
foil,
sparring partner,
foil
in this case. And I think that this will deliver. Now, will that be enough? I don't know. It depends on how much they deliver. But there's no doubt that this, all the attention on this will only help it, and I don't think there's any opportunity for it to fall flat. I just think the people involved are too good.
It is a bummer considering their fan bases and considering how loyal their fan bases are that there are going to be no fans. Like, this is the one time where you take off the journalism hat and you're like, man, they add something, right?
Especially because...
And I feel like for the competitors, they add something too. Like, I feel like Conor...
He definitely
rises
to that,
and
especially considering how much people thought it was a foregone conclusion that it would be a world tour or even an domestic tour or some kind of tour, and now we're getting this one very specific type of opportunity. But again, I mean, the people will be watching regardless, and I'm sure Conor McGregor would deliver. Watching in Times Square.
You heard it here first. All right, so I'm looking forward to that. That's this Thursday, the first time we're going to hear from both of them, the first time that they're both in the same room since April when that whole thing happened at the Barclays Center. That's at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Stay tuned for more on that. Let's answer some questions.
Absolutely.
And... Yes? No, I'm just looking at the other stuff going on.
Okay.
UFC Fight Night São Paulo.
We'll talk about that. I'll give some picks.
All right.
But for questions, TTT Netflix asks,
oh, wow.
In regards to the recent Herb Dean controversy, do you think referees should face some sort of tribunal that exceeds just potentially getting barred from reffing UFC fights? Not that Herb is the most egregious by any means, but others, there have been decisions like this in the past where.
Yes, I do. I do. And I feel like I've said this in the past. One thing that I love in other sports is that when there's a controversial play, okay, fine, the referee isn't doing interviews, but there's a pool reporter that gets to ask them questions, and they're at least asked to explain their actions, their line of thinking. they're held accountable. In our sport, that doesn't happen. You know, Herb Dean leaves, all well and good. Judge leaves, all well and good. Commissioner leaves, all well and good. And I feel like no one's held accountable on that end. The fighters have to answer for it. Often the UFC, Dana White, has to answer for controversial decisions. But for some reason, the commission doesn't. And I don't like that. So at the very least, I'd love if there were some kind of pool reporter. I'd love if they were made available to the media afterwards. Yep. And in this case, there's not necessarily commission in play. No, they're working with M1, but like there's no commission, right? So the UFC, I hope in this case, is talking to Herb Dean afterwards and analyzing his performance. And I also hope that if it's in Oklahoma or Missouri or Florida or California, the same is being done. I know that in certain states, which are obviously a lot more active, California, this is the kind of thing that is done, but I think it should be done. And that's, you know, honestly, another reason to have a national commission, because if there's a national commission, yep, there's one body, everyone's held to the same standards, same rules, etc. But yes, absolutely. If you screwed up, you should have to pay for it, especially when you're dealing with people's lives, you know, their health and safety. Can't just be on to the next one.
Yeah.
And by the way, remember when I was talking about that other event where someone screwed up? I don't remember. Maybe it was the Lincoln, Nebraska event, and they went on Fox and like, that person has been pulled, you know?
Yes.
Almost I felt like they were public shaming him. Okay, fine. But like, this was just as egregious, right?
If not worse.
So yeah. where was that note?
I agree with everything you've said. Sometimes we see officials come out and make some kind of statement on their own in cases like this. But I think there should be some kind of system in place that they're analyzing. And you know, as you mentioned, certain athletic commissions do that on their own,
yeah,
and already, you know, take those things into account. But certainly there needs to be some transparency in the thinking behind some of this and the actions taken and, accountability, obviously. So no disagreement at all. I think we're all in agreement there.
Yeah.
Highlights for 80 says, with Mark Hunt having one bout left on his UFC contract, who would you like to see him face in what may be his last bout with the UFC?
Yeah, so this is it for Mark Hunt. And considering his contentious relationship with the company, I would be surprised if he fights after this last fight.
Yep.
You know, they are going to Adelaide. That thing on his arm was gnarly, but
yeah.
I don't know if that's going to keep him out for 3 months. They're going to Adelaide on December 2nd, and his buddy Tai Tuivasa is in the main event against JDS. I had heard before this fight there was some talk of doing Mark Hunt versus our old pal Justin Willis. But I haven't checked back after the fight if that's in play. Mark seems to be in good spirits on social media afterwards. It would make sense for him to fight in Australia, so maybe they go that route. And I felt for Mark afterwards because he did really hit him with some big shots. I mean, Alexi on the show today kind of shrugged them off and said that the leg kicks hurt him more, and apparently he had an injury going into the fight. But man, not a lot of people stay standing, let alone survive those.
He landed some massive shots. I think the idea of Mark Hunt getting a fight in Adelaide is more important than necessarily who the opponent is.
But you want it to be sort of old school wrestling where he puts someone over on the way out if you're the UFC. So
yeah,
Justin Willis is a young guy, you know, doing well. So you don't want to necessarily put him against some old guy where he wins and it's now like, okay, he's got momentum to go to Bellator.
Absolutely.
UFC thinking is we want to put him in there against a young guy to put him over. Now, does Mark agree to that? Who knows? But he's never really been one to say no to a fight.
But you also want, because of, you know, the price tag that's associated with him, you also want an action fight. You don't want him to just be in a boring fight where you send him out the door with a loss, but get nothing out of the exchange.
Yeah.
You want to put him in there with somebody who's going to fight. And I think there's a lot of good options out there. It's not like heavyweight is thin at the top in terms of contenders, but it's a division where you can find guys to stand and throw with Mark Hunt. So I wouldn't be surprised with many names. There's a lot. I think it has to happen in Adelaide if you want to send him out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that Seb, I think they care, but I get your point.
Seb Hotbot, and also, you know, draw some crowds
sure,
with him.
Sure, sure.
Seb Hotbot, Jan Błachowicz called out Daniel Cormier and Alexander Gustafsson this weekend. What do you think are his chances of getting any of those fights, considering John Jones is probably going to come back this year?
Definitely not Cormier. I think it's comical to hear all these guys go on like one or two fight winning streaks and say, Daniel Cormier, where are you at? You got to defend your title. I mean, yo, slow your roll, you know?
But he's on a nice He's got a nice resume.
No, I definitely do. But like, there's no way Cormier's.
No,
I guess you know. Again, now, shoot your shot, do your thing. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's not. Unless Cormier specifically calls for it.
There's a better chance of the Gustin fight happening, but I don't see that fight happening either. The Jimmy Manoa fight, the third one, I think a lot of people would love. But, you know, Jimmy with some horrible luck, it would have made a lot of sense. I feel like if he would have won this fight, I was just looking to see if there was another update from him. But again, if you missed it, landed in Brazil, supposed to headline UFC Fight Night Sao Paulo, goes for a run the next day, and tears his hamstring, and now he's out. I mean, this is just
unbelievable,
unprecedented stuff. It's crazy.
This card has taken quite a few hits.
It was supposed to be Glover Teixeira versus Jimmy. Then it became Jimmy Manoa versus Thiago Santos, and now it's Thiago Santos versus Eric Anders, two 185ers fighting at 205 on a fight that was put together on 6 days' notice. So, no, I don't think that that's happening, but it was a super impressive performance against the returning Nikita Krylov. And, he, you know, not a lot of guys have won four in a row at 205. Maybe against the winner of Corey Anderson versus Latifi. He's fought both of those guys. The problem is the top of that division is so light that there's just not that much, you know, there's just nothing really fresh.
But that's why they're trying to shoot their shot. You know, it's light, so it's thin. Let me take my opportunity. Maybe I'll get in there. I mean, it wasn't too long ago Daniel Cormier was calling out Shogun Hua. So,
yeah. Well, that was.
There's a fast track.
How about the winner of
Anthony
Smith versus Volkan Ozdemir?
I mean, you have to. If Anthony Smith wins that one, you got to ride this momentum. I think you put
even
him in
greater.
There. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that will only be three in a row for him, two in a row, 205.
But the way he's performing, the attention that he's getting right now, I think you have to capitalize on that before you miss the boat. No, I don't think he gets DC. I don't think a fight with Gustafsson would be out of the question, but I don't think he gets that either.
No.
I like what you suggested, but we'll see where he goes from here. He needs a statement win. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was solid.
But Krylov is just coming back.
That was supposed to be a showcase fight for Krylov. In Russia?
Yeah.
Against the Pole?
Jan is too good for that to have been a showcase.
But if they had their way, if this was pro wrestling,
sure,
Krylov wins that
Krylov would have went over. Okay. East asks us, that's just the name, East.
Okay.
What's the deal with Connor in the promotion for 229? Is he just going to do the press conference and that's it until the fight? No interviews, conferences and stuff? What is your sense?
I have not been told that he's not doing any media. Clearly, there's not a lot that's happened, but he is making his way over to Vegas. So he'll be at the PI and there are more opportunities for the UFC to control his time. Khabib is in San Jose. I don't think he's going to go cold turkey. I don't think this is the Ronda Rousey thing. I mean, witness the fact they're doing the press conference. I just think the fight was put together relatively quickly. It's a big fight. There's not a lot of talk coming out of the camp. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of baggage. They don't want to talk. I don't hate it. And honestly, if the last 3 weeks are just fire, no one will remember it. What do you make of that face?
I said this last week and you gave me the stink face.
What are you talking about?
We had a question about, is it too late? Are they waiting too long? And
what
I said,
did I say?
They're going to have those last 2 weeks right before the fight. They're going to smash it and nobody's going to
And what did I say?
Up.
You're wrong?
You
don't remember giving you stink face.
You're a little iffy. Here's the question though.
Okay.
Let's say they do the press conference Thursday.
Yeah.
Afterwards, Connor's doing the interviews.
Yeah.
But it's not anything bigger than, a traditional fight week. Hey, he's doing the interviews that he needs to do. Where are we at pay-per-view wise? What are you thinking now? Are we back
I still
on path?
Feel like Connor alone is minimum 1.2.
Okay.
Now, 1.2 to 2 is the range. I don't think they can do above 2.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take a home run.
Something has to happen.
The stars have to align in just the most perfect form, like greater than Diaz versus Connor 1, right?
Yeah.
And that magic. And remember, that fight came together in 11 days.
Yep.
So it's not like you need this long build.
It felt like every day there was a moment that was happening in the build up to that.
Yep.
This press conference could be the start of that. Could be the kickoff to some kind of magical run.
Everyone will be talking about it. Everyone's waiting. They miss Connor. They miss Khabib. Yeah. We have not heard from Khabib really since his win in April. We've not heard from Connor really since his win over Floyd Mayweather. He did some interviews surrounding the doc that premiered in October, his own doc, Notorious. Yeah. But really, it's been pretty quiet for the past year, and so much has happened. If things go the right way on Thursday, that will go a long, long way.
Yep,
and then he goes to Vegas. And at this point, like this weekend, we're 2 weeks away. So something's got to give. But even if he does nothing, period, nothing, not a single interview, 1.2.
Okay. Jalen Ware asks, Why do you feel BJ is still fighting? And could a prime BJ beat the elite 155s and 145s of today's UFC? Last guy to beat a prime BJ is Frankie. So Jalen is saying the last time BJ was in his prime was...
So I don't think that he could beat the elite. I'm going to ask you how you feel about it from a fan perspective. I'll tell you why he's fighting. He's fighting because this is what he knows. This is all he knows.
Yeah.
He tried to walk away. He tried to have a normal life, if you will. He needs the structure. And I feel like we talked about this once before. Like, he just doesn't know how to do anything else. And I'm not saying that as a slight. His life has always been around training for a competition, a fight, having a date, having a goal, having an opponent. And when he got off that, he went off the rails.
Yeah.
He had personal problems. He had, you know, drinking problems, things like that. Like, he went in the wrong way. He went in the wrong direction. And so this is almost his sobriety test. This is his way to get sober. He's back with Novo Niao. He's training with those guys. He loves those guys, Andre Pettinaris and Jose Aldo and all those guys.
Yep.
He seems happy. He seems like he has structure. He seems like he has focus. He has a mission. And this is now, of course, you know, how long can they accommodate this is another question. They can't just keep him around because it helps him. At some point, they have to decide whether or not it's in their best interest to keep him around. The Ryan Hall fight, you know, like, I don't feel uncomfortable with it because it will probably be a grappling heavy matchup. But I feel like if things go horribly wrong in this one, like if he gets completely dominated and actually gets hurt by Ryan Hall, now we have to start taking a hard look. The problem is, even if that happens, I fear that he's still going to go in the opposite direction because he won't have that structure. He won't have that focus. He won't have that light at the end of the tunnel, the opponent. So it's a tricky one. And by the way, this isn't an issue that is exclusive to BJ Penn.
No.
Look at Chuck Liddell today. He says, I got out sooner than I wanted to. I didn't know what to do. I was depressed. My wife told me I wasn't happy. And now I feel like I got it again. It's impossible. That is the nature of being a fighter.
Yeah, there's certain guys that you feel like are lifers. And sometimes it's past the shelf life of how good they're an active fighter. BJ, yeah, you nailed it. BJ needs this. Now, I'm hoping at some point it can transition to maybe coaching or helping people with camps and figuring out a way to stay in the fight game, but not necessarily be culminating in a fight.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a way to scratch that itch. I think BJ would probably be a great coach. He has so much to share. He loves it so much, and I'm sure there's something there. But it's tough as somebody who, you know, really, really idolized this guy growing up. He's my favorite fighter. I've said it many times. It's tough. But this is the hand we're dealt at this point. He will not walk away.
Does he win that fight?
No. How could you say yes at this point?
It's unfortunate.
It's impossible to say yes.
Yeah.
After seeing these last couple of performances. So the question about could a prime BJ beat the elite 155 and 145s of today? I'd give him a shot in his prime.
Oh, a prime BJ.
A prime
Excuse
BJ
me.
Penn.
Yes, of course. Again, I've said this before. UFC 107, I'm sitting there watching him defeat Diego Sanchez in Memphis, Tennessee. That was the best fighter on the planet.
Yeah.
Bar none.
It wasn't
Fyodor Emelianenko. It wasn't Anderson Silva. It wasn't George St. Pierre. It was BJ Penn.
Yeah.
He was the best fighter on the planet. He was unbelievable that night. And he was unbelievable against Sean Sherk. And he was unbelievable against Joe Stevenson. His second run at 155 when he was champion, he was unbelievable.
And
then the loss to Frankie changed it all. He had the one moment against Matt Hughes at 123. But it was really the two losses to Frankie that changed everything.
Absolutely agree. BJ in his prime was one of the best. And... you know, it also tells you how good Frankie Edgar is, that he was 100%. The man to stop that prime.
Yeah.
So, a moment in history, but now that time is long gone and BJ's still fighting. Real quickly, what did you make of Brock Lesnar's weight when he turned up to WWE last night? Looks like the lightest I've seen him in years. I only saw this on Twitter, but I did see he looked considerably smaller in size.
I mean, he is in the USADA pool.
Yeah.
And, so you can draw whatever conclusions, the plans are still in place. It's interesting that he hasn't left WWE. Brock just keeps us guessing constantly, and so maybe he's going to moonlight and do both. You know, he is a megastar who is allowed to play by his own rules. And so, yeah, interesting that he was wearing a t-shirt, right? I heard you and Jake back there and Steve all sort of giddy about the whole thing.
Excuse me.
I cannot say that I watched, but shout out to the great Renee Young for getting the call.
That's
to
right.
Be on the broadcast team, full time member. That's amazing. First woman, Canadian woman, aka Renee Paquette, right? Formerly of the Score in Toronto. So that's very cool. Way cooler than Brock Lesnar walking around in a shirt, if you ask me.
We're not reading too much into this. It is what it is.
Whatever.
What do you want to say? As Max Holloway would say.
What do you want to
say? Speaking of wearing t-shirts.
Yes. Yes.
Bardamu asks.
Yes.
Do you have any plans to sell t-shirts with the new logo?
Oh.
I'd be all over that for sure.
How nice. Look at our new logo. And you know what? I didn't have an opportunity to really give a shout out to the man who made this logo. So let me do that now. And I apologize for that. His name is Ted Park. And you may know Ted Park, or certainly his work, if you're a longtime MMA fan. He is the man who created one of the greatest t-shirts in MMA history, the infamous Korean Zombie shirt. Not the second one, the first one that everyone loved. And many moons ago, in 2011, I do believe, he made me this picture that I actually have on my Facebook page of my face sort of like this, with clouds and things like that. And, you know, when we did the new show, we kind of started it off and we wanted to get it out, you know, relatively quick. And so a lot of the stuff didn't feel like it was my own. Slowly but surely, I'm hoping that that happens. And the logo was something that I felt strongly about. So I thought about that logo and I went back to Ted and said, could I use this logo? And he's like, you know what? Let me modify it. Let me adapt it. Let me evolve it for you in this new era on this new show. And this is what he came up with. And I must say, I loved it right away. I love everything about it. People say there are too many colors. What's going on with your head? I love it. It's wacky. It has the Canadian maple leaf. It's got the wings for my infamous shoes. It's got the ESPN logo. It's got the nose there. It's got tons of colors. And it's got my nose, my real nose, which some people said actually should be bigger. And I will concede that. But I love it. It's great. And I'm very proud of it. And it does feel sort of like a logo. To answer the question, any plans for shirts? I did that once. I gave the proceeds to the Colorectal Cancer Association of Canada when we did the Helwani No shirts. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so right now, I feel like there's enough on the plate. But if it becomes a thing, you know, why not?
I mean, it's pretty sweet.
Would you be happy to rock this?
I would like to rock that with the plaid shirt maybe in the background.
Yes. Look at that plaid, that subtle plaid. You got to love it. So thanks to everyone at ESPN for actually taking this and making this into a real thing. Because I can't just come up with a logo and be like, hey, guys.
I have a logo.
And so a lot of people worked hard on making this happen. The animation, the new animation. Shout out to Lenny Hart as well for giving us the intro. So yeah, it's great. I'm really happy with it, and I appreciate everyone weighing in with their two cents. It's always nice. So for now, no t-shirt, but it could be. I mean, I love it. I love looking at it. My kids love it. They keep asking me to play the intro. They think it's hilarious.
Last question. Blaze1 asks, should New York Rick, me, cut his man bun for charity?
Yes.
It's a poll. He's been asking this every week.
Oh.
and a ton of questions about the man bun. So
I'm not that guy, by the way.
You're not behind this account.
That's not my alias.
You're not pulling a Colangelo. No. The answer is yes.
Wow.
It's coming soon. I don't have a date.
Whoa.
Coming soon.
Breaking. Let me just type this out. Capital B-R-
Blaze1, it's coming.
Wow.
And it will be for charity. Locks of Love will get some kind of donation from yours truly. When? I'm not going to put a time frame on it.
Damn,
but it's going to happen soon.
This is the biggest news of the day.
The countdown is on.
This is the biggest news of the day.
Listen, it's time.
Okay. It's like my story with Frank Robinson at Montreal Expos training camp, spring training in 2004. He said, son,
now
it's time.
You moved quicker.
I went the next day.
You went the next day.
So does this mean tomorrow?
No, it doesn't.
On Yom Kippur Eve, to atone for all your sins of making us look at that thing for the past, what was it been, like 4 years, 5 years?
That I'm so attached. There has to be a process. I want to document it. I want to do it right.
And you're going to donate it.
But it's going to, for sure. That was always the plan, always. Okay. I knew when I eventually cut it, I was going to donate it. Why not? Why wouldn't you? Why just let it, you know, go to waste? But it's coming. Countdown's on.
Can't wait.
Okay.
Get a clock.
Real quickly.
Yes.
I'm just going to call out some of the fights for Fight Night 137. Livia Hanata Souza finally making her UFC debut.
Former Invicta gal.
Incredible fighter.
Yeah.
Maybe an atom weight, to be honest.
Okay.
But fighting at strawweight and just incredible there. Minus 650.
Whew.
It's a steep price. Alex Chambers, I think, I don't think Chambers has anything for her. I think that might be one to look at to parlay in, but that's heavy money to, heavy odds to be, giving to a guy, a person making their UFC debut in Livia. The one play that I like at this very moment, unfortunately, there's no props out. Talis Leites is an underdog to Hector Lombard. He's
retirement
plus 105.
Fight. There's actually two retirement fights on this card.
Yeah.
Talis Leites and Evan Dunham.
Evan Dunham as well. He was as high as 115 I saw this morning. I think he has a good chance of beating Hector Lombard. I'd almost want to wait to see the props, but because I want to give you some kind of pick, I'm going to go with Leites as an underdog. I think he could get it done by knockout. I actually think rather than submission, I think he might be getting a knockout.
Damn.
I'm fading Hector Lombard big time on this one. Ryan Spann is another one I like, but he's minus 240. Don't love him there. Trinaldo against Dunham, who's already, as you said, got 1 foot out the door. He's minus 325. Don't love him at that price either. Charles Oliveira is minus 380. Don't love him at that price. There's a lot of plays that I like, but can't pull the trigger at these numbers. Hannon Burrow is minus 125 over Andre Uhl at plus 105. I think Andre's game, and I think he's live in this fight with Burrow, but I'd like to see him at a little bit of a higher underdog price. Alvi is minus 320 over Little Nog, who's plus 260. I really like Alvi here. I think Little Nog hasn't competed in a very long time. I'm definitely fading him, but I don't know if I'd lay 320 on Sam Alvi against anybody, really. I'd like to see that price come down before I do it. So really, Talis Leites is the only one I'd play, and I'd be waiting for some props to see in this one. Anders, just to give you the main event, Anders is plus 125, Santos is minus 145. I think that's about right. I would say wait for the prop for that one not to go the distance, but I said that about the last fight with Santos and Holland, and it didn't go well. But I cannot fathom Eric Anders and Thiago Santos not finishing this fight.
Five rounds,
yeah. Main event. Like this has to finish. The price is going to be steep, but maybe that's one that you parlay with Livia Hanada Souza. Throw something small on that. For now, Dallas Leites at plus 105. That's my only official.
All right.
Right now, to give everybody status, we're at 4-4.
Okay.
Two 500. Catching
better
back
than
up.
3-4.
Wouldn't have made a lot of money on the bets from last week because, as I said, the prices were steep. Here we got an almost even money bet on Talis Leites.
All right, good stuff. That's this weekend. We are out of time. Thank you, Mr. New York Rick. Thank you, Mr. Jake. You can hit my music, my wonderful music. There she is. So much has happened today. We have talked to the likes of Yoani and Jacek, Chris Cyborg. We have talked to the likes of Chuck Liddell, a.k.a. Don't Call Me Chuck Liddell. You talked to Tatiana Suarez. I must say, Tatiana Suarez, very talkative, but very interesting. I mean, what a backstory.
What a story.
I mean, the stuff that she has overcome is unbelievable. I very much enjoyed talking to her, and I enjoyed talking to everyone on the show today. Also want to give a shout-out to our main man, Tyron Woodley, friend of the program, for the release of his new single, I'll Beat Your Ass. That thing is climbing up the charts. Wow. Unbelievable. Killing it. And you know what? It's nice that he was getting some love. Dana White tweeting about it, or I think Instagramming.
Yeah.
I can't see because he's blocked me on both accounts, but people showed me screen grabs. It was very nice of them.
A lot of fighters.
Remind me, and a lot of fighters showing him love. So that was very cool for Tyron Woodley. All right. If you missed anything, again, you can get it on YouTube. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Stitcher. Also, I'm told Google Podcasts is now where you can get the show, not Google Play. They switched it over. I'm not sure what goes on over there, but Google Podcasts, that's the platform where you can get it if you're an Android guy. That is it for us. We are done. We are out of time. Back next week, same time and place. Until then, I say peace. I'm out of here.